Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for Essen Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Welcome to Essen Fresen, and this week we are celebrating and talking about and accolading World Ocean Week this June, which culminates in World Ocean Day. So truly, it is a global celebration of the vast blue heart of our planet. The 2025 theme of World Ocean Week is Sustainable Fishing Means More. And what it does is remind us how we source our seafood and fish affects not just the ocean health, but also our plates, our cultures, and probably most important, our future. Interestingly, did you know that the oceans provide over 3 billion people with their primary source of protein? Yet, sadly, nearly one third of global fish stocks are totally overfished. That's really a hectic statistic. So sustainable practices not only help protect our marine life, but also support millions of small-scale fishers who rely on the sea for their livelihoods. So today we're going to dive headfirst into an episode talking about fish, seafood. We're going to talk to some industry professionals and a registered dietitian about the health benefits of eating fish. We're going to talk about cooking with fish. But most importantly, we're thinking about how the choices we make in the kitchen ripple out into the world's oceans. So before I get on to my first guest, I'm going to share with you my easiest daily, everyday grilled fish, which is so simple for your kitchen, and with a bit of tartar sauce or a lemon butter sauce, or just as it is, so easy. So I love to use fresh hake. I always use it on baking paper. I spice it with some molten salt and some black pepper. I squeeze over some fresh lemon, not too much. In fact, a better way to do it is actually to squeeze the lemon after it comes out the oven, as they say that the lemon actually makes the fish go a little bit hard, which it does, but if you do a little bit, just infuse those flavors, it always works. A generous glug of olive oil, as I call it. And then add whatever fresh herbs or dried herbs that you like. I love a little bit of garlic, a little bit of onion powder, a dash of paprika, and even a sprinkling of cayenne pepper, just to give it that zing. Literally, the olive oil over, in the oven, 20 minutes, and there you have a delicious piece of grilled fish. But what works best with that fish, for me, it's always the sauce. I love sauces, as you know. So let's talk about two different options for sauces. The first being a tartar sauce, which is so easy to make at home using just pantry staples that you have readily on hand. So a good quality mayonnaise, either store-bought or your own, really makes the best tartar sauce. I love a full-fat mayo, but you can substitute for a light mayo if you prefer, or you can even substitute for a white yogurt for a lower calorie kind of sauce. I love, though, as I've said, the full-fat mayo. Some pickles, pickled cucumber, either homemade or store-bought, will definitely add that crunch and flavor to your sauce. I love the sweet and tangy, or my homemade pickles, so whichever one you fancy, you can use the ones in brine, the sweet sour, really whatever you have on hand. A squeeze of fresh lemon juice, and here, don't use a store-bought lemon juice. Use fresh lemon. There's nothing better than the fresh, zesty flavor of fresh lemon. I love to add some capers. It adds texture and flavor. Some people stay away from capers, so you can. But capers, for me, just add that zing to the tartar sauce. Some fresh or dried dill is always a must. And for me, it's always the fresh dill. I love a bit of torn fresh dill in my tartar sauce. And then you can mix it with whatever you want. If you want a bit of Italian parsley or a little bit of basil or coriander, whatever you have on hand. So parsley is a great alternative, but I actually love adding different fresh herbs. And then a dash of Worcester sauce. That might sound like an unusual ingredient to add, but it truly does bring the sauce together, but just a dash. And there you have on hand a delicious tartar sauce that you can use with your grilled fish, which for me is definitely every week, sometime in my kitchen, you will find a grilled fish dish for supper, which you can serve with baby potatoes or a Greek salad or just something simple and delicious. The second sauce that I'm going to share with you is a lemon butter sauce. So for that, you really need 100 grams or 4 heaped tablespoons of unsalted butter, or you can use salted butter if you prefer, but I prefer to use the unsalted for this. A tablespoon of fresh lemon juice and salt and finely ground pepper. So simple. You can add a bit of parsley. Again, you can add some onion powder, some garlic flakes, whatever you wish. And literally, you place your butter in a saucepan or a little skillet over a medium heat, melt your butter and leave it on the stove, whisking every now and then and stirring if you prefer. When the butter turns a golden brown and it smells just that little bit nutty, which normally takes about 3 minutes, remove from the stove and pour into a little bowl. Add your lemon juice and a pinch of salt. Stir, whisk it all together, and there you have the most delicious lemon butter sauce. Always delicious, and just that beautiful addition to your fish, your daily fish, or for a special occasion.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
So we've been talking about World Ocean Week, and we're sharing some recipes and delicacies about our favorites in the kitchen, lemon butter sauce, tartar sauce, a fresh piece of hake or sea bass or whatever you fancy off the grill and onto your plate. And who better to turn to than to speak to one of our industry players and key suppliers of fish in our Johannesburg market, and I'm sure even further than Johannesburg. We're going to talk to Joop van Jaarsveld, the deli manager at La Marina. Welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, Jean. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always good to talk to you, and thank you for always supplying me with the best and most fresh and most delicious fish in town. So while we're talking fish, let's talk a bit about sustainability. And if you can give us an overview of our situation in South Africa at the moment, and are we depleting our oceans? Where are we getting our fish from? And one of the things that I think the listeners always battle with, I even battle with that, is how to store our fish. And from when you get the fish to your fridge and into a freezer, what are those kind of timelines? So there's lots to cover in our little chat. So tell me where you're comfortable to start.
Okay, so let's start with sourcing our fish.
Yes.
At La Marina. We specialize pretty much in Norwegian salmon and sea bass, which we get from Mauritius.
Wow, that's interesting.
So the sea bass is it's a channel bass that they farm specifically in Mauritius. It does very well in the Mauritian waters. It's a small-scale, sustainable farm, and we bring it in twice a week from Mauritius.
Okay.
Currently, we're the only guys in Joburg, in Gauteng, that bring it in.
For sure. I'm always getting my sea bass from you. So when you see sea bass at my functions, you can bottom dollar that it's from La Marina.
It's an amazing product. I think I prefer it to salmon. It's easier to eat.
Yeah, and it's a lighter fish. Yes. Yes.
So the salmon we get from Norway, it's also sustainably farmed. It's GAP certified.
Okay.
So that means it's from the Norwegian side, they get a single source farm. So there's full traceability for the farmed fish. We get it usually within, that's about 24 to 36 hours, it's in South Africa.
Wow. Fresh?
It is fresh. So they harvest it, process it, and then they put it on ice in poly boxes.
Okay.
And these boxes get flown directly to Joburg International Airport. Once it's through customs, we bring it into our factory and start processing it.
Okay.
Then just to tie into your question on how long you can keep your fish fresh.
Yes.
We certified for 4 days fresh.
Okay.
So all our customers, once we cut the fish, once we process it, it is good for 4 days in your refrigerator.
Okay.
And for up to 6 months frozen.
Frozen. So just to help our listeners get a handle on this, if we buy fresh fish, fresh salmon, just say portions of fresh salmon, 4 days it's good in our fridge, and if we freeze it straight away, it could last 6 months.
That's correct.
That's great to know. I'm always questioning that even with myself. You know, you see something in the freezer and you think, wow, do I turf this or do I keep it or is it okay or not okay? So yeah.
Yes. So just on an interesting note, some sushi restaurants will mature their fish like you mature meat.
Yes.
So they'll do a bit of like a brine or a pickle on the outside just to prevent most of the bacteria growing.
Okay.
and then they will mature it. So if you're a specialist, then you can mature your fish,
Yeah.
but for household use, it's good.
And then talk to me about smoked salmon.
Smoked salmon, at the moment we stock and also Norwegian hot smoked salmon.
Yeah.
We have a hot smoked. So also just to clarify for people,
Yes.
the hot smoked salmon is a wood smoke, a
Yeah.
hot wood smoke. So the temperature goes above 75 degrees.
Okay.
So it's almost like a cooked product.
Yes.
Okay, it's seasoned with mustard seeds, black pepper. Yes, it's a delicious product.
Delicious product.
Then we also have a cold smoked, which is similar to what you would use on a bagel or what you would use with scrambled eggs and a hollandaise sauce. That's the more pinker salmon. That's a cold.
So do you smoke that yourselves?
No, we've got a company that smoke it for us.
Okay.
And I think
So you're using the same Norwegian salmon fillets that you get.
it's the same Norwegian salmon
Okay.
that they then cold smoke or hot smoked. So just a side note on the cold smoke, we do have them sliced,
Yes.
whole sides sliced, or then whole flies, sides unfly.
Okay, so if you're a customer and you're going into a store and you're buying smoked salmon, how long would you say safely it can stay in a fridge?
Well, mostly they freeze it after they smoke it.
Okay.
So then it should also be good for a minimum of 6 months.
Okay. And it's all sustainably sourced and safe, etc.
Yeah, that's you're completely right.
So when people say we're depleting the oceans, there in a few years' time there's not going to be any salmon left and people freak out. Is there truth in that? How do we counter that? Like,
No, absolutely. There is absolutely truth to that. You can always go to the SAS list. They've got a very nice website where you can look at which fish is on the red. There's a green list, the orange list, and a red list.
okay.
So if you're unsure about the fish that you need to buy or want to buy, you can go onto their website. They update it quite frequently to say which fish is now less endangered or more endangered.
Wow, I didn't catch the name of that. What did you say for our listeners?
SASSI, SASSI.
Okay. That's interesting.
So, yeah, so, excuse me, things like it will tell you the mercury content of fish as well. Some people are worried about salmon
For sure.
having a high mercury content, where a fish like Cabillaud actually has more
Wow.
of a risk
Okay.
of mercury content. Yeah, so there's a lot of misconceptions. Conceptions out there on fish, but on their website it will clarify it for you
Okay.
quite clearly.
And just tell me, I know that people also struggle with the difference between salmon trout and smoked salmon. Can you embellish a bit on?
Yeah. So it is it's actually a bit of a marketing term. So what it refers to is pretty much it is a trout, but it could also be a hybrid trout.
Okay.
Or hybrid salmon, but what it refers to is a type of trout that has the characteristics of a salmon. So it would have the same size,
Okay.
the same fat content.
Okay.
So this would be something like a rainbow trout or a steelhead, to give you an idea.
And the texture is definitely different. I mean, the texture between smoked salmon and salmon trout, they definitely you can feel and taste the difference.
Absolutely, absolutely. But there are similarities and overlaps that make it close enough for the marketing guys or the people who sell the product to sell it as salmon.
Okay.
But they had to, at some stage, they had to clarify it, and then we got this term salmon trout. So before that, they tried to smuggle it or sneak it into the market as salmon,
Okay.
but now they.
They have to actually clarify salmon trout. Okay. And there's obviously a cost difference between the two.
Yeah, the one is definitely
A more premium product, yeah. For sure. So in general, should we be worrying about the future of the oceans and fish and supply and what we're eating, or can we comfortably carry on eating salmon? And tell me what your thoughts are.
I think if you stick to the green and the orange list, then it's fine. I think there's most of us are not the problem. I think it's the big trawlers that
Okay.
fish for canneries and things like that. That's
Okay.
not regulated. That's the big problem. But if I can almost recommend, like, rather buying farmed fish at this moment, where it's traceable and you know what you're getting,
Yes.
then, and if people say it's wild caught, I take it with a pinch of salt. Most fish these days are farmed, and if there's traceability, then it's a fantastic product.
Okay, so as long as you can trace it.
Yes, exactly.
So I noticed when I was in America, it says wild Alaskan salmon on most of the salmon products. So, and it's a different color almost. It's almost like a deeper, pinker color.
That's right, yeah. So that's got to do with the diet a lot. And then you also have to remember, for them, wild caught salmon is not a rarity. It's like us having access to game meat or kudu or springbok. It's
Okay,
a
yeah.
seasonal thing. Sometimes they've got an abundance of it. So up in the northern hemisphere, to get Scottish or
Yeah.
Norwegian or Canadian fresh trout or salmon is
Yeah.
par for the course.
Well, at this point, we're very happy with the delicious Norwegian salmon that you bring in at La Marina. So thank you for your time spent with me today on the show and chat to you soon. Thank you. You're
You're most welcome.
Thank
We'll
you.
speak soon.
Lovely.
Thanks,
Thank you.
Dean.
Bye.
Take care.
Halashing for halas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking fish and salmon and all delectable treats. We've spoken to La Marina, and we're going to be speaking to a dietitian and another very well-known fish supplier soon, but let's just share a few recipes and talk about some differences in different types of fish. I know I get so many questions always about different types of fish and salmon. I hope I've answered some of the questions by speaking to Joop van Jaarsveld. But one of the things that I love to do is to make salmon fish cakes. So I'm going to share with you a recipe. What I love to do is to take a few portions of the Norwegian salmon and grill them very gently on a piece of baking paper with salt, pepper, and olive oil. You really don't need more than that. And just when it's almost cooked but not completely dry, I remove it from the oven. I cook it on 180. The rule is about 10 minutes for every 1 centimeter of fish, so you can do that comfortably. I remove the salmon, and I love to use some mashed potato with the salmon fish cakes. So use the equivalent of, say, 4 portions of salmon at about 150 grams each, and 4 medium peeled potatoes, which you've boiled and mashed. You can add in a little bit of salt, pepper, butter to that if you wish, but you again, it's not totally necessary. And then one of the small little accents that I love to do is to grate in some fresh broccoli or zucchini. So for that, you need about 200 grams worth, not more than that. And you can do it raw and just grate it in. It gives that greeny crunch to your fish cake. The juice of 1 lemon, 2 tablespoons of whole grain mustard, a heaped tablespoon of any mayo that you prefer. As you know, I'm a creamy and I love all the fatty, creamy sauces. I love the Woolworths French mayo or the extra creamy mayo or homemade mayo, which is also easy to make and delicious. But if you can't get your hands on that, then the Woolworths one is too delicious for words. And again, if you're having a milk meal, you can add in 2 tablespoons of plain white yogurt, of course, double thick. Or if you want to go on the healthier side, you can actually leave out the mayo completely and just double up on the yogurt. Mix it all together. So you've got your potatoes, you've got your salmon, you've got your grated greens, you've got your lemon, you've got your mustard, mayo, a little bit of yogurt. I love to add in a little bit of dill or parsley chopped. Mix it all together. With clean hands, divide it into your patties, shape into the shape that you prefer, and cook for 4 minutes or 5 minutes on each side in just a little bit of olive oil, in very shallow oil, just until golden. And it is already all cooked, so you don't need to drench it in oil and you don't need to over fry. And there you have a delicious salmon fish cake. You can do the same with tuna, and of course, you can do the same with hake. So that's just an easy recipe for a special occasion or for a weekday meal. Another easy grilled fish that I love to do is to take any fresh lionfish. You can take Cavoglio, you can take Cape salmon, or you can use salmon. A little bit of Italian parsley, black pepper, herbamare or trocamare, and olive oil. And I love to add in some chopped peppers and pepper juice. So I love to use the red, green, and yellow peppers. You can fry them gently first, finely chopped in a little bit of olive oil, or you can just use it fresh. Add in some spices of your choice, a little bit of fresh garlic if you prefer, or onion flakes, a paprika if you want to go on the chili side. You can even put a dash of sriracha sauce, spread it over the fish. And of course, there's always your fish spice that you get, the Nomu, the Woolworths, they're all delicious, easy to use. Preheat your grill, line a baking tray with foil or any nonstick liner. I love to use the baking paper. Rub the skin of the fish, just one side only, with your sauce that you've just made. Place it in the oven in the middle rack, and again, 15 to 20 minutes, there you have a delicious piece of fish. If you want to be a bit more decadent, you can add a little bit of cream, a touch of cream to that rub or sauce, and it just gives an added dimension to it. You can serve that on a bed of feta spinach or just chopped spinach, which you've lightly cooked in a pan. It's delicious, and spoon over lemon butter sauce. There you have a beautiful, beautiful meal. Then I'm often asked about the differences between what is gravlax, what is ceviche or ceviche or sabich or however they say it. And I'm going to share with you a few recipes of those differences. So another weekday meal that I love to do are fish tacos. So again, you can use your hake or any flaked fish that you want. You can use salmon if you wish. I do it with hake. I flake my hake into kind of quite chunky pieces, not too fine, and put it, take a basket, have different bowls in your basket already. Get some hard tacos, which you've just put in for 1 second in the oven, or you can get soft tacos. You can use a wrap, a burrito style wrap, a readily available wrap at any of the supermarkets. So you have a pile of wraps, some slaw, which you've just grated, some cabbage. I love to put my cabbage with a little bit of oil and vinegar and turmeric, which gives it that beautiful goldeny yellowy color. A generous bowl of guaco, some salsa. And there you have a fish meal, a taco meal. But before we talk about a few other things, I'm going to share with you the differences between things that people ask me. So people say, what is exactly gravlax? So really what it is equal parts of salt and sugar that have cured your salmon. So ideally, the salt and sugar, the weight of that should be 50% of the weight of your salmon. So you can take your salt and sugar and coat your entire fresh salmon fillet in that. Leave it for 24 hours in your fridge, and 36 hours if you want it even a bit longer and a bit more intense. So gravlax really is a cross between salmon sashimi and smoked salmon, but it just has that kind of cooked but almost cooked texture. So it's minus the smoky flavor of smoked, and it's just minus that very freshness of sashimi. I'm the kind of person, I don't love sashimi, but I love the gravlax because it's almost cooked and cured. So there you go, a delicious, again, so easy to make, and a delicious starter meal or a meal. Don't oversalt, as it can become too salty. And again, you can use a beetroot, a grated beetroot, or you can use fresh herbs. I love to cure it sometimes with a grated beetroot. So you've got your salt and sugar and your grated beetroot, or I do it with fresh herbs, all different green fresh herbs. And again, I love to grate some broccoli or zucchini or anything green into that. So there you go. So the smoked and the gravlax, as we said, similar in flavor and texture, in that they both have that very moist and raw-like feel, but not quite smoked and not quite raw. And always a winner at any kind of dinner that you would share with guests or family. And then let's talk about ceviche, or ceviche, as they say. So this originally is from the west coast of South America, but it really can be found everywhere, top restaurants all over the world. But it really is a South American, elegant kind of seafood starter that precedes a richer meal. So essentially, it's your raw fish with lime juice, and that's your essential ingredient. So it has to be fresh lime juice. And the most important thing is to ask your fishmonger for sashimi-grade white fish, if you're using a white fish, or sashimi-grade salmon, if you're using it as a salmon. I found that when I do functions, South Africans aren't so keen on the whitefish side. There are some people who have that palate that do love it. But really what it does is if you toss it very generously with lime juice and leave it for an hour in your fridge, the acid actually cooks the fish. So it gets white on the surface, but still remains raw on the inside. So as we say, it is an acquired taste and not everyone loves it. But I do love to serve it at functions. And as I said, you must stress to your fishmonger that you want to do a ceviche, and you must ask for a sashimi-grade white fish if you're doing a white fish. And again, you can toss into it so many different things: olive oil, fresh avo, fresh herbs, pepper juice, grated peppers, chopped peppers, whatever you want to give the fish a bit of zing, and fresh red onion, tomato, jalapeno also adds to it, and just bash all these flavors around. Add a little bit of olive oil if you want to dilute the acidity of the lime juice, and then let it sit, not overnight. You can really do it the day you're serving it. That's how I do it. I love to cut the fish into long strips first, and then I dice and cut into small cubes, toss with your marinade, and there you have a delicious starter.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
So we're talking fish, and we're talking about Ocean Week and sustainable fishing, and of course the health benefits of eating fish. And who better to ask a few questions about health and the benefits of fish than registered dietitian Elise Jankelowitz. Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us. So I think we all know, we talk about fish being a wonderful source of high quality protein. We talk about omega 3 fatty acids. Can you enlighten us a bit about the difference between eating salmon and eating whitefish and the real benefits of eating fish and including fish in your diet?
So the great benefit of fish is that it's typically a low calorie protein. Mm-hmm. It's a complete protein. And often people, when they eat fish, they don't feel as full or struggle with digestion as they would perhaps if they ate red meat.
For sure.
Fish contains high doses of omega-3s, as you mentioned.
Yes.
And these are very anti-inflammatory and very beneficial when it comes to brain health. There's also a lot of research around our moods and the impact on that. And one of the greatest benefit is that it has impact on insulin. Wow. When we eat plenty omega-3s, we help the cell and the insulin bind to the cell more effectively. So it's a great way for our bodies to utilize glucose as a source of energy.
Wow.
Our white fish doesn't necessarily have as much omega-3 or fatty fish, or fatty oils at least, mm-hmm. but it still is very beneficial from a protein source. It has high doses of vitamin D as well as vitamin B2, which then helps with immunity. It helps with metabolism, specifically for carbohydrates, proteins, and fats.
Wow. So when you like creating a diet, a balanced diet for people, is it easy or is it very personal? I mean, would you be able to say we should be eating fish once a week or twice a week, or how would you?
So the recommendation D is 3 to 5 times a week because of its anti-inflammatory properties. The problem is that people don't. Firstly, I think they don't know how to cook fish.
Yes.
They complain that it smells.
Yes.
They either then crumb it or they deep fry
which
it.
Completely which completely takes away the benefits of a low-calorie protein.
Totally. So my recommendation to people is to try and at least include it once a night as a dinner meal and maybe twice a week as a lunch meal. And then when we eat out, maybe order a fish meal as opposed to ordering typically a pasta or a meat-based dish.
For sure. And is there a difference when you're talking calories and diet? Like salmon obviously feels richer. Is it richer in calories also than a white fish?
So the calories would come from the fats.
Okay.
So if you're grilling a piece of salmon or you're grilling a piece of hake, yes, there will be greater calories in the salmon, but it's coming from healthy fats. So the benefits of that totally outweigh the overall calorie intake.
Okay. Gee, I'm really learning some new interesting facts here. That's amazing to know.
And the amazing thing, even within South Africa, if you look at our sole and our Cape salmon and yes. our hake and our mackerel and kingklip, they're all on the green list. So they're good quality choices and they are, you know, available. And I think something that people need to realize is that fish does have a smell and it always will.
Yes. And don't
that
be
it's
scared of
okay.
it. It's okay.
Exactly. It's okay. It's meant to be like that. Just get used to that's what we do. Put a beautiful scent or a burner in your kitchen at the same time.
Yeah,
open up
vanilla
your windows.
Candle can do wonders. Yes.
Correct.
It's interesting because I was speaking to Joop van Jaarsveld of La Marina, and he was talking about the sassy list of fish, and he was saying how it's easy. They're always updating those lists, and he spoke about the green list and the orange list, because I was talking to him about depleting the oceans, and is it a myth or is it real fact that we are depleting the oceans of salmon and fish? But he was saying there is sustainable fishing. So if we kind of abide by the green list, we're safe as such.
Exactly. And I think that our greatest farmed fish at the moment is probably trout within South Africa.
Yes.
But so the others are great choices and available to us. And yeah, people must take advantage.
For sure. Talk to me a bit about tuna and the difference between fresh tuna. And I know so many people opt for canned tuna in a tuna salad, tuna for lunch. Is that a good option?
It is a good option. It's convenient.
Yes.
Most people typically would eat tuna. What's great is even your sachets of tuna. I don't know if you've seen them.
Yes.
John West has. Yes. You can get a Checkers also. And some of them have a little bit of an oil or a flavor based. So they're quick, they're easy, they're convenient. So tuna's great. There is an idea of tuna carrying great mercury and potential for, but to be honest, in my 25 years of practice, I don't think I've ever met anyone that's got mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
So I think if we get variety in terms of our fish, I think we are safe.
Sure. And talk to me about children. Like, from what ages is it safe to give children smoked salmon or fresh salmon, or is it a no-no? Do we have opinions on that, or are there facts to support that?
So the new recommendations are provide early, frequently, and let them get the benefits. Like pilchards and sardines are excellent ways of getting good omegas, good protein, good calcium, good vitamin D into infants' diets. I mean, they're easy to mash up. They're easy to prepare as a fish cake. So from early on, I would support that. And remember, it can take a baby or a toddler or even an adult maybe up to 40 times to accept a taste. So the sooner you start and the more consistent you are with providing the fish, the greater the chance is or the likelihood is that
that child
will eat
of
fish.
Of course. Wow. That's great. That's great to know, because I know a lot of people ask questions about that and aren't sure of the answer.
Yeah, so definitely add. Don't be afraid.
And sashimi for children?
So the same thing. I mean, you can pick up some form of a bacteria from giving a child biltong or not washing your fruit and vegetables. So I would say there's no, as long as it's from a reputable place and it's a reliable source, go ahead and give.
That's amazing. Wow. Thank you for your wealth of information and lots of new knowledge on fish and what we should be incorporating in our diet. That was Elise Jankelowitz. Thank you so much for your time spent with me today.
Pleasure, Dee. Thank you.
Thank you. We're talking World Ocean Week, and we're talking fish and all delectable treats, salmon, salmon trout, whitefish, and we've come up with some beautiful ideas for cooking fish and some expert knowledge from registered dietitian Elise. And we're going to talk now to one of the industry players in Johannesburg, Louis Sequeira of Mediterranean Fish Center. For those of you who haven't frequented or who haven't visited MedFish Center, it really is a cornucopia of all delicious delicacies regarding fish. And I think for me, having been in the industry for so long, and I use so much hake, having someone to trust and rely on and know that my fish will always be freshly delivered and beautifully presented, I rely on Mediterranean Fish Center for that exact reason. So welcome, Louis, to our show today.
Hi, Dolores, how are you?
All good, thank you. So I want to talk to you a bit about, we're talking sustainability. We've spoken to some other people about sustainability, but I wanted to talk about the white fish that's available in South Africa. Where are the sources? Where does it come from? How long is the time traveling from the Cape up to Johannesburg? All those kind of influences that make our decisions easier once we are empowered with some knowledge. So can you share some of that with us for today?
So the majority of our white fish, the hake as such, that we get is from the Cape Coast. So it be at the Eastern Cape out of Port Elizabeth or the Western Cape, Saldanha. Most of it is coming from there. That's where the main fishing hubs are for that. Generally, it's fished and trawled in the trawlers, and we get it within days. You know, within a day, it's up here.
Okay.
Road transport.
And it's all
majority
fresh.
Of it is road transport. All fresh.
Okay. And then you prep it and sell it as fresh or frozen. And so what is the time? Like how, for how long after you receive it can someone walk in, buy fresh fish? How long would it be viable to keep that in your fridge?
So fresh hake, depending from, it's got a decent shelf life, probably about 7 days if it's maintained at the correct temperature. The temperature of probably around 2 degrees Celsius,
okay.
2 to 4 degrees Celsius. It will hold up to 7 days comfortably.
Okay.
Preferably, we prefer it when people buy it and use it as soon as possible.
For sure.
Not to keep it that long. Our facilities, we can hold the fish that long, and we know how to hold the fish. It's also not a matter of just keeping it and just keeping it in a packet. You got to keep it on ice and look after it a little bit.
For sure. And tell me, are our oceans being depleted? Do we have a real scare about the future of fish and sustainable fishing in South Africa? Or will there always be a constant supply? And are we fearing for no reason?
I think there is reason to fear. Okay. Fishing stocks have been depleted. We don't get as much of all fish as we used to. We get a lot less. There is certain fish that we just don't get anymore. East Coast sole, for example, very, very difficult. We used to get, there was an abundance of it, now there isn't.
Which is obviously also affects the price.
It affects the price. Obviously, the price is, the scarcity of it is just determines the price is now much higher.
For sure. So most people prefer an East Coast to a West Coast sole. What is the essential difference between an East Coast sole and a West Coast sole?
So the East Coast sole is a firmer fish. The flesh is firmer. The
okay.
West Coast is softer, flakier. That's the main difference between the two.
Okay. And I also can notice that the size of the soles has actually reduced. Soles used to be quite a lot bigger than what they are now, the East Coast soles. Am I correct in saying that?
So that's what's happened in the past. The smallest you would get would be a 150, 200 gram portion. Now they're portioning under 100 grams.
Wow.
So yes, they have become smaller simply because there's scarcity and
mm-hmm.
and in all sense, it's also not right because you're not letting the small soles grow. So it's very difficult, you know.
Okay. And other white lionfish like cabillo and yellowtail, talk to me about the, is there a scarcity there or is there an abundance or?
There is, on all fish, it's seasonal. Everything is seasonal and dependent at the time. There'll be times when there's a lot of cabillo. It will run quite hard and there'll be a bit. But then it disappears for quite a while.
Okay.
I do think that in general, the fishes come and go through season. So they do deplete. Our departments are supposed to manage the amount of fishing and the quotas that are supposed to happen. That's just we don't know how well that is being managed.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably a problem.
Okay, and when you just a customer comes in and buys fish and then wants to freeze it, what would you say the freezing time is? Like, would you say 3 months, 4 months? What would you say is acceptable?
Once frozen in a home freezer, probably six months.
6 months.
Home freezer, you could comfortably hold 6 months, no problem.
Okay, and fresh lionfish, how long would that last in a fridge?
Fresh lionfish, same. Also, about
4 days.
Fresh
or so.
Lionfish is, yeah, it might be even a little bit longer than the hake. But again, it's if it's stored correctly, you don't want it to sit in water, in essence. So
okay.
If it's sitting in water, then it starts to go bad a bit quicker. But yeah, it's got a nice shelf life.
Yeah. So as the dietitian who was the nutritionist we spoke to, and she said people have such an aversion to the smell of fish cooking in their homes or whatever, but I would say light a vanilla candle and definitely eat fish at least once or twice a week. It's a easy meal. It's a healthy meal. We've learned about the benefits of it. And it's we're lucky here. We do have it available to us. So it's just such a convenient meal.
Yes, it is convenient. It's available. And what's nice with fish is that there's so much more different fish that you can have.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike, a steak is a steak, you know,
For sure.
Beef is, it's relatively the same, where you get different types of fish,
and
different
textures,
different flavors,
yeah.
And flavors. And so fish is more, there's a more variety.
For sure.
You can definitely do a lot more with fish different fish. So you're not always eating the same thing, you know?
Yeah. So while we're talking steak, if you had to braai fish, what would be your fish of choice to put on the braai?
So a fish to put on the braai is yellowtail. Yellowtail is probably the most ideal fish to put on a braai.
Yes. And do you season it and then wrap it in foil, or do you put it straight on the braai?
Season it, yeah. Season it with salt and pepper.
Salt, pepper, a little bit of olive salt, oil if you need.
Olive oil. I'd like to put onions and tomato mix in the middle, wrap it up in a tin foil, and then put it on the braai. Right.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another idea from Luis Aquera of Mediterranean Fish Center. Thank you for your time spent with us today.
Thank you.
One of the things that I just want to explain to you with fish is obviously we're talking kashrut in Johannesburg and in South Africa. So when I buy fish in bulk and you buy a white fish, one of the key things to do is to always, even if your fishmonger fillets your fish to you, for you, if you ask for one piece of that fish, skin on and not filleted, so you can always identify that you're getting a kosher fish. So that's just one way of keeping sure that your kashrut is up to the minute when you're buying white fish from any registered fishmonger. So we've learned a lot about trust and sustainability and our oceans and where our fish actually comes from and how we store it at home and how we can eat fish healthily and happily twice or three times a week. So just before we close off, I'm going to share with you one delicious recipe for a grilled fish. As you can hear, I like to opt for the grilled fish. It's so easy. Fried fish, I'm sure everyone can readily do in their kitchens. But just for a touch of spice or something different, you can take your salmon or your white fish, or as we've just heard from Louis, if you're brine, you can take your yellowtail. But I love to take a salmon. I love to rub it with a fish rub, a little bit of salt and pepper, a little bit of olive oil, and then chop up some pepper juice, some sun-dried tomatoes, some chopped black olives, or even 3 heaped tablespoons of an olive tapenade, some roughly chopped or torn basil, a dash of Worcester sauce. I like to add a dash of sriracha sauce. Of course, your salt and black pepper. And then here, I love to add some crumbled feta on the top and bake it for at least 20 minutes or half an hour in the oven on your baking paper. You can turn down the oven for the last 10 minutes just to like about 160 or 150 and allow it to cool on a baking tray. And then you can crumble some more feta and sun-dried tomatoes over, but I love to actually cook it with the crumbled feta. It gives a delicious crunch and makes a beautiful platter of fish. Of course, your torn basil or parsley on the side with some lemon, and there you have a delicious fish meal. So we've shared some recipes today about fish. We've spoken about sustainability, about where our fish is actually sourced from, and I feel pretty comfortable about where we get our fish in South Africa. Let's be conscious of the ocean. Let's be conscious of people who fishing for their livelihoods, and happy cooking and happy hours creating fish dishes in your kitchen.